Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Sabbath services. That was quite an interesting little bit on the unseen world. And that's what man has been able to discover, some of the very smallest things. So think about what God has made. Think about what he's preparing for us. So in the midst of all the trouble and difficulties going on, and there's plenty of that, let's see why we need to grow in grace and knowledge. It's interesting that we understand these things that are going on, but I think that after what we covered Sabbath before last, that with the Supreme Court ruling, there is no check on lawlessness anywhere in the government and in the society. So yes, let's come to Hosea 4. Yes, God does have a controversy with Israel. Okay? And here's why. And we need to understand that these things are going to happen, but we need to be doing something else because we're preparing to take over the world. And you can know and understand this, that no politician is going to solve the problem, because the problem is not political. The problem is spiritual. And as you will see in the letter you're going to get, that even the Supreme Court justices tell us there is no remedy to correct the lawlessness that's in the court system or in the land. And like one man said, when you have no Christianity, you can't hire enough people to make the people do what they should do. And this is exactly what God is saying, Hosea 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Now here's what God is looking to. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And look what that is doing. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. So then he says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwells in it shall languish with the beast of the fields, with the birds of the heavens, yea, with the fish in the sea shall be taken away. Okay? Now, let's see what is propagating a lot of this. Come to Psalm 14. We're going to see the fastest growing religion in the world, which is atheism. Well, I suppose that Islam is, but they kill so many people, I don't think they'll have too many adherents. Okay? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they've done abominable works. There is none that does good. The Lord looked down from heaven. Now, how does God look down from heaven? Revelation 4 and 5, the seven eyes of God. He knows what's going on. Now, think about all of the small little nano things that are going on in the world, and God is the one who's directing that. He knows what's going on all the time to see if there were any who understand, who seek after God. Okay, so God is looking for those who are seeking him. This is why Jesus said, seek and you shall find. They've all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not even one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. Okay. God is going to take care of all of them. Now, back in 1 Corinthians 15, here's something very interesting, because this also affects the churches of God. And we need to ask the question, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. This is what Paul said of the church. Now, especially to the Corinthians, because they were the Greeks who, you know, prided themselves on knowledge and understanding, and that's where philosophy comes from. See? And Sophia means knowledge. So he says, verse 34, awake to righteousness. So this is what we need to do, awake to righteousness. And do not sin, for some of you do not have the knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. See, with all the time we have had with peace and security and Bibles and everything that we have to preach the Word of God and get it out to as many people as possible, we of all people need to have the knowledge of God. And I think that God not only looks down on the world, but he more intently looks upon the church, wouldn't you suppose? Yes, indeed. Okay. Now let's come back here to Proverbs, the 14th chapter, Proverbs 14:14. Now that's right after 14:12, which says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But in verse 14, two verses down, it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied with his own actions. Now think about that. How does God judge individuals? By their works and by their thoughts, because their works reflect their thoughts. And if their works don't reflect their thoughts, then they're hypocritical. And if they're religious, they're sanctimonious pretenders. That's very interesting, isn't it? Now let's come to Proverbs, the second chapter. All right? This tells us how we need to seek after the way of God, because this is really very important, and it shows us. And as we will see, God wants us to be seeking these things his way. So let's begin right in verse 1. Now this is wisdom speaking, and we are to be the sons of God. Is that not true? Yes, indeed. So let's read this in mind with what God wants us to do with knowledge and study and how we are to grow in grace and knowledge. And if you want to put a title to this sermon, it would be To Grow in Grace and Knowledge. Okay? My son, if you will receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, and we're going to see the emphasis on thought within you, the mind, the heart, verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Now, this shows the spiritual work that needs to be done. See? Now, it's not true that at 25 our minds quit growing. No, we keep thinking and doing things all of our lives. There was a 105-year-old veteran, I think it was of World War I, okay? And I don't have it with me, but he wrote a letter to Obama and castigated him thoroughly. But here he is, 105. He can still think. He can still challenge. And so we're never too old to learn. As a matter of fact, we need to be learning every day. I know I do. I learn every day. Okay? Now here's how we are to do it. Verse 3. Yea, if. I want you to circle the ifs and then. Okay? If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Now that obviously then has to do with prayer. That has to do with your communications with God. And where is the greatest knowledge and understanding contained that we need? From the Word of God. Verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Now we're going to see the word of God and the way of God compared to silver and gold. It's greater than that. However, just put in your notes there, 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, that Paul likens spiritual growth to what? Gold, silver, precious stone. Then there's the other half of it. So you can look at that one scripture, wood, hay, and stubble, and then go to Matthew 25, where you have the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. Okay? They built wood, hay, and stubble. The wise built gold, silver, and precious stone. Now notice what happens when you do that, verse 5. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord. Now the fear of the Lord means to be in awe of God, understand his love, his grace, his goodness, and all of that, you see. And to realize, think about, as we saw this little video, think about how foolish it is to declare there is no God when they have crawling all over them all those little mites to help clean up their body. And they don't even know they're there. Amazing. Okay. And shall find the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is the most important thing. Now we're going to see the steps that follow with knowledge. They're right here. Knowledge. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge. That's number one. Understanding. Because when you have knowledge and you put the knowledge together with different other facts, then you have understanding. He lays up sound wisdom. Then you gain wisdom. And wisdom comes by doing. And wisdom comes by learning from your own mistakes. Now, I remember when I was oriented at Fort Ord, when I came to Fort Ord as a recruit, 1953, they had all of the new recruits there, and, you know, we just had all of our heads shaved, and we had on our fatigues and polished up our boots, and we were to meet the commanding general. Okay, so he came out on the stage, and he gave his speech, and he said, a wise man learns from his mistakes. That's true, and we need to learn from our mistakes. But he said, I want to tell you a secret. A wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. So we don't need to make the same mistakes that other people have made. See? All right. That's wisdom. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of right judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Now look at all the blessings that come with that. Okay? They come with that. Now, that doesn't say that we're not going to have trials and difficulties and things come along. We'll have them. That's part of life. God wants to see what we're going to do. Okay? Now notice verse 9. Then. So we have if, then. You shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Wisdom shall enter into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasing to your soul. Now, what do we find in Matthew 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 foolish, 5 wise. Because they didn't do what it says here in the first part of chapter 2. All right. Let's come over here to Proverbs 9. And verse 10, very interesting. The Proverbs is full of a lot of good things that we need to know and understand. Proverbs 9, and let's pick it up here in verse 8. Okay. Do not reprove a scorner, lest he hate you. Give rebuke to a wise man, and he will love you, because he will listen. Yes, you are right. Now, sometimes it doesn't come quite that easy. Sometimes it comes a little grudgingly. And then you have to admit, you know, well, Dolores, you were right. Okay. But nevertheless, verse 9, give instruction to a wise one, and he will be wiser still. See, because it's constantly growing, grace and knowledge. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. This is why we study every day. This is why we pray every day. And this is the key on how we can remain grounded with God and not be overwhelmed with the things transpiring in the world. Now, you can't ignore them, but you can't be enveloped with them either. Okay? And what this leads to? Verse 10. The fear of the Lord, and where did we start out in Proverbs 2? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So you've got to know the Word of God. What did Paul call all of the wise and intelligent of the world? Said they're fools. Why? They have no knowledge of the Word of God. Just like with this little video we watched, think how much more you appreciate the creative power of God after seeing that, and that teaches us to love and fear God even more because of what he's done. Then we can expand that out and think about, since God is preparing New Jerusalem for the saints, for those in the first resurrection, I wonder what that is going to be like, even though it's described in Revelation 21. What will that really be like? So God is planning fantastic things for his saints. He loves us. He wants us to study. He wants us to pray. He wants us to grow and overcome. And he's given his Spirit to us so we can accomplish it. That's amazing. Notice verse 11 tells us this. For by me your days shall be multiplied. How about eternal? And the years of your life shall be increased. If you are wise, you shall be wise for yourself. Now that's interesting. We can share knowledge. We can share wisdom. But we can't make anybody wise, because they have to go through the learning and the process and the assimilation and using the Spirit of God. Then it says, if you scorn, you're in trouble. Chapter 10, verse 14, just across the way. Wise ones store up knowledge. That's called growing in grace and knowledge, right? But the mouth of the foolish is near ruin. Now then, let's come to Hebrews 10, and we will see what God wants to do with us in our hearts and in our minds, because we are working at building the character, the knowledge, the understanding that is going to give us the beginning, when we're resurrected, of eternal life. See, because what's missing in the world with all the leaders and religious people is what? Character. So what God is doing, he's giving us an opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge and build character so that when he gives us our duties and assignments in the kingdom of God, we will have the character to do it right. And the character not only to do it right, but to be trusted that that will be so all the time. All right, Proverbs 10. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. Proverbs 10 and verse 14. For by one offering he has obtained eternal perfection for those who are sanctified. Now, as we've seen, perfection is a process. We are being perfected, Ephesians, the fourth chapter. The Holy Spirit also bearing witness to us, for after he had previously said, now I want you to think about this right here. Verse 16, now we've gone over this many times in the past, but I want you to really think about the covenant, because the covenant that we have is the covenant of baptism, where we're conjoined to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died for us, but we join his death in baptism so that he can give us the power to overcome sin. So this is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give. So this comes from God. We have it written down in the Bible. And to get it into our minds, since God has given the Bible, we have to do the study, we have to apply ourselves, we have to search, we have to put it together. Okay? I will give my laws into their hearts and will inscribe them in their minds. Now, I want you to think about that. Okay? Let's come back to Psalm 19. And we will apply Psalm 19 in a spiritual way and see that how that Psalm 19 requires God's Spirit. Psalm 19. Now, this is really quite a psalm when you look at it. Sometimes, you know, we read things and read right over it, and we miss a lot because we read too fast. That's why we have to stop and think about it. Every once in a while in the Psalms it says, Selah, and that means stop and think and meditate on what you just read. Okay? Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, what did God tell the children of Israel and us when he began dealing with them? I've set before you life and death, good and evil, okay? Therefore, choose life and love the Lord that you may live. Then he says, I call what? Heaven and earth against you, okay? So the heavens out there are declaring all the time the glory of God. And the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they reveal knowledge. Now stop and think about this for a minute. Okay? Think of the word of God as a hand coming directly from God. The calculated Hebrew calendar based on the heavens and the movements of everything there is the glove. And the glove gives the superstructure to the word of God. And the Sabbath and holy days are the keys that keep us in an attitude of understanding if we keep them right, coupled with prayer and study. Now, I remember talking with a person one time who said, well, I can't understand the Bible. And I said, well, there's a little secret to understanding the Bible. And he said, what is that? I said, it is obedience. If you don't obey, you cannot understand. Now it says of those, a good understanding have all those who keep his commandments. Well, I don't understand that. And I said, that's the problem. You have to set your mind that you're going to obey God. Well, what if I don't agree with it? Okay. I said, then you're in trouble. See? Now, Alan Dershowitz, he was discussing the Ten Commandments one time on an interview. And he said the commandments are outmoded, especially the one on adultery. And then he said, as a matter of fact, So is the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. Wall Street is based on that. See, so this is how people look at things. See, so because of that, now how educated is he, Alan Dershowitz? Well, he's a famous attorney, very educated. But does he know God? No. Can he understand the Word of God? No. But the Word of God is greater than all the knowledge that he has, because that is all knowledge without God. Now, you may mention him once in a while, but that's not quite as good as the demons. The demons know that there is a God, and they fear and tremble, because they know their judgment's coming. But ignorant man does not, see? So this goes to everybody in the world. Now, we don't know what kind of sounds are coming from out there in space that we don't understand, but there are a lot of them they can pick up. And I never did find out where it was, so if anyone can help me on a Google search, I'd appreciate that. I was driving along, and I was hearing this interview, and this man was saying that the body sings. And he said, how? He said, well, when you get the rhythm of the heart, and then you get the pulse, and then the kidneys make noise, the liver makes noise, and all of that. And then he said, I want you to listen to this tune that was comprised of the sounds of the organs of the body. And I never could get a follow-up on that. But it was interesting. And it was a nice little song. Okay, see? Now, that's probably when you're in a good attitude. See? And if you're not in a good attitude, it's probably all of that. Okay. All right. Their line has gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man set to run his race. Its going forth is from one end of heaven, and its circuit is to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Now then, he transists to the law of God. And what did Jesus say about the law and the prophets? He did not come to abolish, but fulfill. And having the Spirit of God fulfills the laws and gives us understanding. Now, let's read it from the perspective of Hebrews 10. Of course, God is perfect, so his law is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. So, imperfect man or woman cannot improve upon the law of God. Now, here's what it does. Restoring the soul. It gives peace and tranquility to your body and your mind, which then is a health and life-giving thing that you need. Let's go on. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Whatever God says, it's going to happen. Yes, indeed. Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Give us understanding. Help us in our thoughts. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And keeps you out of trouble, by the way. A lot of trouble. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous, all together. Now, if you want a separate little Bible study, you do this. You go through the various statutes and ordinances in Exodus 21, 22, 23. Those were the laws to govern the civil society. Now then, there are some people who do not agree with the death penalty for various sins, including sex sins. However, with what has just happened recently in America with the Supreme Court judgment, is not the whole nation punished by their activities because they taught it and allowed it and sanctioned it and forgot the lesson of Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay? Yes, indeed, righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. All right? Hold your place here and come to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Okay? Now, let's read the section beginning with verse 121. Now, you see that little Hebrew letter above it? Ayin? That means that every verse from 1 to 8 begins with that letter. Okay? So let's read it. I've done justice and righteousness. Leave me not to those who oppress me. Be surety for your servant for good, and let not the proud oppress me. My eyes have failed for your salvation and for the word of your righteousness. Notice the enthusiasm for God's way. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for God to work, for they have made void your law. Now notice, right in the atmosphere of what we have today, this is it. They've made void the law of God, haven't they? Okay. What are we to do? The next verse. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Notice how many times in the Word of God that it's compared to great riches. Why? Because it leads to eternal life. You go clear to the end of the Bible, to Revelation 22 and verse 14. Who are the ones that have the right to the tree of life? Those who have kept the commandments of God. Okay? Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, come back here to Psalm 19. And let's see what the laws of God, spiritually written in our hearts and in our minds, will do for us. Okay? Verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. Have you ever gone along and thinking something and you said, uh-oh, no, not that. That's because God's law and spirit in you is causing you to think in right terms with what? The commandments and laws and statutes of God, the teachings of Christ, etc. Okay. And keeping them, there is great reward. And everybody wants that, but no one wants to do what they need to do to get it. See? Now here's another good one. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? That's the hardest thing to admit, isn't it? Yes. It helps you to understand your errors and what you do that's not right. Oh, cleanse me from my secret faults. All those things buried in your mind from a life living in the world in sin need to be cleansed. And keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Now think about it for a minute. Think about those that you used to know who attended church, and they gave up on the Sabbath, which was what? The first step to giving up on many other things, right? Yes, indeed. Then come back and visit them 15 years later. Some have done that and said they are surprised. It's like there's just something missing, and you can tell it in their eyes. Quite an amazing thing, right? Now, the Sabbath day, the Sabbath and holy days, the hand and the glove, make it complete. But the Sabbath is also an appointed feast of God every week. Now, why do you suppose God did that? Is God perfect? Yes. Does God have all wisdom? Yes. Does he have all understanding? Yes. Well, what does he know about us as human beings? Because he made us. That we need to learn every Sabbath. Not only the rest, not only away from our business, but God wants to know. Do you love me? Do you fear me? Do you honor me? Because I've given you life, and now I want to give you eternal life and give you wisdom and understanding along the way. That's a fantastic thing. So when you look out at the world and you can see all the things that are going wrong, don't get discouraged. The world looks at them and maybe can figure some things are wrong, but they don't understand what is happening because they don't keep the commandments of God and love him. So that's why growing in grace and knowledge becomes very important. Let's go ahead and take a break here, and we'll come back.